Welcome to the Wolf Den Podcast. Here in the Wolf Den, we bridge the gap between blockchain technology and the real world. Before we get started, we need to make it explicit that this information is for educational purposes only. Think of it as a thought exercise. It is not meant to be prescriptive nor taken as financial advice. Now, please take into account that many of these audios are pulled from previous videos, content, interviews, things that we have done up to this point. Please be sure to do your research and check the date that the original content was published. If you'd like to learn more, go to wolfdencrypto.com and click join. All right, what's up, Wolf Den? Let's get right into this. We're going to talk about the adaptive dilemma. This is the long way of getting helping people ask better questions, give better answers, and work together at getting what they want. It's going to be a long series, and we're going to plow through it because it's very, very important. And we're going to start with the adaptive dilemma, part one, language and self-efficacy. Okay, language and self-efficacy, which is basically just the ability to take care of yourself and get the outcome that you expect to get some amount of the time. We'll talk about that language in a bit. All right, so we're going to start with the quote of the day, as we do sometimes. I obviously don't have a quote of the day every day, but when I remember, it's in there. You're going to see this one over and over again. Seeking dopamine without effort will destroy a person. Andrew Huberman. I'll tie that all back in because we're going to see it again over and over and over in many different ways. And, of course, six-word update. This will be posted right after the video. I strongly recommend that you do your six-word updates. It's very powerful. It's very useful. People get a lot out of it. I will give you an example. If we go to, here's a six-word update, 6WU, you see from the Certainty Summit, and you can go see short and succinct responses for what other people got. So not only does it force you to think about what you have learned and articulate it, but you can also learn from other people. Strongly recommend the six-word update. I'm going to keep saying that because it's very powerful. All right, so let's get right into the meat of this training. And we're going to look one more time at Cartman's drama triangle. And this is the thing that we're all going to avoid. And as we get into these later trainings, it's going to start making sense why we kind of like try to avoid this stuff. Maybe we learn about it, but then we're like, but what about the, you know, technical details? And we're going to show why that's not nearly as important as people think it is. Yeah, so here's Cartman's triangle. This is the drama triangle, where we have a persecutor and a victim and, of course, a rescuer. Okay. Now, the most dangerous person inside of this drama triangle, oftentimes, maybe counterintuitively, is the victim. Right? We want to point fingers at the persecutor, but the reality is most people are victimizing themselves unintentionally. And what happens when you have people that have things that they have to deal with, and they want to procrastinate from dealing with their own things, is they will often go find somebody that is playing a victim and play a rescuer to them so they feel productive, right? Like, here, let me help you. No, I'm doing good. I can justify not handling my own stuff because I'm helping somebody else. Nothing wrong with helping people, but you got to handle your own stuff. So what happens is we have people unintentionally victimizing themselves, and I'll explain how that happens. And then we have people trying to feel productive, acting as rescuers. And now, the only way that these two people can maintain their identity is to find somebody to call the villain, to persecute. Most villains are made up. There are absolutely some villainous people. But most of them are made up so that we don't have to worry about doing our own stuff, right? Like, we can look at Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos. Are they perfect humans? Of course not. Do they do weird stuff? Probably. However, we see millions of people on Twitter and social media throwing stones at them all the time and backing each other up and building these groups of people that are against Bill Gates or against Elon Musk. And I totally get it. You do not have to believe that they are not nefarious. However, recognize how all the time and attention is going into persecuting an individual or a company instead of improving your own position. Right? So this is the triangle. Now, in this triangle, the victim is the most dangerous. Okay? Because without a victim, there can be no rescuer. Hope that makes sense. Okay? If there is no victim, the rescuer will eventually have to face their own stuff and work on themselves. Now, of course, again, there are absolutely villainous persecutors, villains in the world, but not nearly as many as us humans make them out to be. So we have to be hyper aware that we are aware of the victim and we are not victimizing ourselves. I'm going to show you how we victimize ourselves and how we can catch other people that are victimizing themselves and help them elevate out of this triangle, because this is just a doom loop of misery. A lot of the world sits in this doom loop. Okay, so the assumption that I'm making always, if you're watching these videos, if you're in the wolf den, if you're participating, is that you want things to get better for you. And the appropriate way to say that is a higher probability of getting what you want. And I'll explain why this language is so important later on in the video, but I'm pointing it out right now so you can see how to identify these things. Okay, so a higher probability of getting what you want. Language is very, very important. Language is important. We're talking a little bit about asking better questions. Let's talk about the language behind it. Okay. There are four components of language we're going to talk about today and tie it into crypto and other things that might be important to you. Okay, the rocky road. It's actually the rocky road from action to intention. Asking what you mean to ask, answer what was asked, and colloquial speech patterns and self-efficacy or lack thereof. Again, I'll break all that down for you, and you will have a replay of this if you are in the wolf den, and you can take notes, and there will be notes provided to you as well later on. We have a killer intern, and we can ask him to break some of this down. Okay, so the rocky road from action to attention. This was a dissertation written in 1990 by a Stanford student. She is brilliant. And what she discovered is if you sit across from somebody that is a best friend, a spouse, somebody that even you know really, really well. She said, what do you think if you tap, right? If you tap on the desk, your favorite song or a random song, what is the probability that the person across from you can guess what that song is? And before they tapped, on average, people guessed 60% of the time. Okay, 60% of the time, the person across from you will be able to guess the song. And then they perform the experiment. After the tapping, so they tapped and they saw the response. They saw the person across from them responding. She said, okay, now that it's happened, what do you think the probability of them understanding or being able to guess the song? What do you think it is now? And they guessed about 40%. Okay. So after communicating, we don't think that we have communicated as well as we thought we would communicate. Here's the terrifying part. They were able to guess the song about 1.5 to 2% of the time. 1.5 to 2% of the time. Here's what we take away from that. One, we are terrible at estimating our ability to communicate, but even worse, we are almost equally bad, horrible at estimating how well we have communicated after the communication has happened. Here's why. When we're tapping, okay, we have all these accompaniments in our head that the other person doesn't have. We hear the tune. We might remember where we were. Maybe we went to a concert. We can smell, you know, the stuff around us. We have all this stuff that creates a very vivid memory. So when we're tapping, we hear the chorus, we hear the voice, and we have all these memories the other person doesn't have. But we assume that they have at least some of them, and we assume wrong. Okay? So what that means for us in the crypto world or in any world where we're trying to get better, we have to recognize that one, we do not communicate nearly as effective as we think we will, and two, even after we've had a conversation, we have not communicated nearly as effective as we think we have because the other party and or parties don't have the accompaniments in their head that we have. Therefore, we must work hard at helping make those accompaniments, their assumptions, most of the time, in the real world. Okay, so first of all, we overestimate our ability to communicate and we grossly overestimate how well we have communicated. We need to understand that if we are going to be successful, because we are in blockchain. It is a brand new technology. Okay. Not many people have the assumptions that we would have about something that is much, much, much older and more mature. If we're going to communicate about blockchain or technology or anything else, we need to give the people we are communicating with the accompaniments, the chorus, all the things they need that are in our head to hear what we are actually trying to communicate. Okay? Hope that makes sense. So Rocky Road from Action to Attention, if you can get your hands on it, I strongly recommend it. It's not easy to get. You can get it from the Stanford Library, and you might be able to dig it up online. Again, that's the name of the dissertation. Okay? Grossly overestimate our ability to communicate and grossly overestimate how well we have communicated after the communication has happened. Okay? The second thing that we need to be aware of is we don't often ask what we mean to ask, and we don't often answer what was asked. This is the illusion of communication. We run into it all the time. So I will give you a few quick examples. When somebody says, "What is protein?" If you ask that question, and that's what you mean to ask, and I answer that question, if I actually answer what was asked, I would say, well, protein is like a macromolecule that is made up of one or multiple chains of amino acids. The end. That's what protein is. What you actually probably meant to ask most of the time is, should I eat more protein? Is protein bad for me? What happens if I don't have enough? How do I know if I have enough protein? What foods have protein in them? You meant to ask something different. Okay? But typically people ask the wrong question. And then, Rocky Road, from Action to Intention, we answer something that they didn't ask. So a conversation might go like this. What is protein? Well, protein is important because it's the building block of muscle. One, I'm not sure that's what you actually meant to ask. Two, the person that responded, if that was me in this case, I did not actually answer the question that was asked. I tried to guess what you meant when you asked the question. We now think we are communicating, and we are not. We are not having a conversation that makes any sense objectively. Okay? What is crypto? Crypto is a digital asset designed as a means of, designed as a currency. It's cryptocurrency, it's just a digital asset as a means of exchange. What people actually mean is, should I invest in crypto? Is it safe to invest in crypto? Should I have it in my business? Where do I learn about crypto? They mean to ask something else. So somebody goes, what is crypto? And I say, well, it's a new technology with NFTs and coins and exchanges and all that stuff. That's actually a completely different. I'm not answering the question asked. So this is what happens, especially in large communities. And this is how we victimize ourselves. We look for information. We are not careful about what we're actually asking. The person responding doesn't actually answer the question we asked. They answer what they think maybe we're trying to figure out. And this conversation goes on. This dialogue continues. We get further and further and further away from what you were actually trying to accomplish, but nobody's aware of it. Hey, what is blockchain? Are Oreos bad? Okay. Blockchain is just the technology to transfer, secure, and store digital assets, and it stores it in blocks, validated blocks instead of columns and rows. Is that what you actually wanted to know? No. But, so this is the dilemma. Okay? If you get upset when somebody answers the question you ask, you are victimizing yourself. You did not ask the appropriate question. They actually did the appropriate thing. So what we typically want is we want somebody to try to guess what we mean. You know, because if I say in the wolf den or otherwise, if somebody asks a question, I say, well, what do you mean by that? And your first response is, well, you know what I mean. You are victimizing yourself, right? And it's not, I'm not saying that like a negative thing. So just be aware that you are putting yourself in a risky position. Anytime your thought process is, oh, well, they know what I mean. Well, they don't. They do not know what you're tapping on a desk, right? So if you want to not victimize yourself, not put yourself in a situation where you are high risk and have no control, then you have to be careful and diligent about what you actually mean to ask. Are Oreos bad? No, Oreos are not bad. Oreos are neutral. They just sit on the shelf and do nothing. The fact that you can't control yourself around Oreos is a different conversation. Okay, so what conversation is being had? Are you asking what you mean to ask? And is the answering party actually answering exactly what you asked? If not, this is not a useful conversation. It is not improving self-efficacy or your ability to get closer to the things that you want. I understand that it's off-putting sometimes when you're not used to it. People get very triggered when you ask them to clarify what they are asking. But if you get triggered when somebody clarifies what you're asking, it is because there's this friction. You don't actually know what you're asking. How can you possibly go seek help and expect responsible answers if you don't know what you're asking? The work to be done is really to figure out what is it that I want to know and how do I articulate this? Okay, so it's important that we understand this and just watch for it. Watch other conversations around you at dinner, with your family, out with friends. Watch how often people ask one question and somebody answers a completely different question. And then watch how long that conversation goes on without the initial question ever being addressed. Sometimes it's just small talk. I hate small talk. But we got to make sure we're asking what we mean to ask and we're answering what was asked. That is how we improve quality and self-efficacy. Okay, so don't get triggered if somebody says, can you please clarify what you mean? Or if somebody answers the question that you ask and it's not what you meant, it's not what you wanted to hear because it's not what you meant to ask. Get better at asking questions. Colloquial speech patterns. Okay, so we got rocky road, we got being clear about what you mean to ask and what's being answered, and we got colloquial speech patterns. These are victimizing speech patterns that we don't realize that we are doing. And again, it's not like I'm throwing stones at anybody that is victimizing themselves. It's trying to give you the power back. That's all we're doing. It's trying to give you the power back. Say, Oreos make me fat. Okay? They do not. Oreos do not make you fat. This implies that while you are sleeping, they sneak into your house and shove themselves down your throat, but they do not. Right? So what you mean is, I have no self-control around Oreos. I can't just eat one. I have to eat an entire sleeve. Therefore, I need to stay away from them. Right? The difference is one of them is acknowledging how you modify your behavior to get what you want. The other one is pointing the fingers at an inanimate object and calling it evil or that it's bad. You are victimizing yourself. You're pointing at Oreos saying, these Oreos do bad things to me. That is not true. They do not. We have to be very careful with our language so that we don't fall into these patterns because then we lose power over the outcome. Exercise doesn't work for me. Exercise doesn't work for anyone. It does nothing. The behavior of exercising consistently probably does create some outcome for you. Okay? Crypto wrecked me. It did not. You wrecked yourself in crypto. Now, maybe you don't understand it or it doesn't fit your personality or whatever, but all of these colloquial speech patterns, what they're doing is they're taking power out of your hands, putting it somebody else, and making you a victim. And when you are a victim, there is nothing you can do with your own behavior to get better. We want to stay out of that position as much as possible. Anytime we can put the onus back on our own behavior, we actually want to do so. Hey, Oreos don't make you fat. Exercise doesn't not work for you, and crypto doesn't wreck you. Of course, you mean something else. I understand you could say, well, crypto wrecks a lot of people, and that is technically not true. What we're actually saying is a lot of people don't know how to navigate it and get wrecked. But we got to be very careful about where we're putting the onus. All right. And then we got to think about validity or usefulness. Okay. The correctness of information is often divorced from its value. That's from Dr. Trevor Cashy. I actually heard that this morning from Dr. Trevor Cashy. I slid it in here under the valid versus useful slide, which means something being correct does not mean it's useful. Something being correct does not mean it's useful. If you cannot modify your behavior, it may not have any utility to you. For example, you can argue about how electricity works and what it is, or do you really want, is this conversation really about, where is the frickin' light switch? What is the action with the highest probability of turning it on? Right. So if in the middle of the night, if you're like, man, I can't see anything, I want to find some food because I'm starving. We can make a whole bunch of valid points about how electricity actually works, or we can show you where the light switch is. Right? Most people just want to know, including yourself, where the light switch is, but they get stuck in these arguments about validity, trying to be more correct about how it works. It doesn't inform behavior. You can tell me how, you can teach me the various theorems of aerodynamics. I just want to know how to ride a bike. What's the highest probability of getting on the bike and being able to ride the thing so I don't have to walk anymore? So we're going to be very aware of whether we are chasing validity or usefulness when we are asking questions and having conversations. So valid or useful. Reflect on your questions. Are your assumptions explicit? Are your assumptions explicit? All the things in your head that you assume other people already know. Here's how you can tell. Anytime somebody, a group of people or somebody doesn't seem to understand what you're saying and you say, come on, you know what I mean, then your assumptions are not explicit. You're assuming other people have the same exact pre-wired ideas that you have and they don't. Are you victimizing yourself unknowingly? And are you getting stuck trying to make valid points, trying to be technically correct or guide yourself or others to useful answers? What I recommend is that you Google Teaching Smart People How to Learn. It's by Harvard Business Review. It talks a little bit about the valid versus useful and why we fall into that trap. Okay, next. Wolf Den, The Adaptive Dilemma, Part 2, Dogmatic and Polarizing Orientation. I'm going to roll into that right now. Thank you again for listening to the Wolf Den podcast. Now remember, this audio was pulled from various free, public, and private trainings by the team and even Wolf Den members. Now we do this for free because we want to help as many people as possible. So if you found this helpful, feel free to share with somebody else. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss another one. And of course, check out the Wolf Den, wolfdencrypto.com if you want a deeper dive.